Good morning and welcome to Shattering Myths, the program devoted to the largest and fastest growing segment of society. To those of you who have come to realize, as have I, that all of the world's religious, political, economic, and military institutions are corrupt, that they are counterproductive, and that they cannot be fixed. I am Yada. If you'd like to join us anytime over the next 2 hours, we're toll free. 877-376-45. I received this email from a good friend over the weekend, and he was interested in listening to a television show, and there was no host. And he was saying, what in the world is going on? And he found out that the television host had been fired for not going along with a Yale Center initiative to declare that Allah and Yahweh, now it's actually Yahweh, but let's give them some wiggle room here, are the same God. That Allah and Yahweh are the same God, and if you don't go along with it, you're fired. Now, this particular article that he sent me on, it says that it's a chilling fact that over 300 prominent Christian leaders have signed the letter issued by the Yale Center for Faith and Culture, claiming that world peace is dependent upon Muslims and Christians recognizing that Allah and Yahweh are the same God. This letter, titled Loving God and Neighbor Together, was written in response to a signed document by 138 Muslim leaders called A Common Word Between Us and You. McLaren, Warren, Robert Schuller, who is now deceased, Bill Hybels, were among some of the signatories to this outright betrayal. Now, this is a Christian writing outright betrayal of Christ. There is no Christ. In fact, Christ is an outright betrayal of Yahweh. TBN had a conflict over its intolerance for Islam. I was invited on to the TBN show many times when I was speaking out against Islam. But when I was then speaking out against Pauline Christianity, oh boy, I was not welcome anymore. They were intolerant of that criticism. But Hal Lindsey is one who continued to speak in favor of Christianity, but against Islam. And this really famous Christian author has now been banned by TBN for his views on Islam that he was told he had to soften. So it is astonishing, really, that people could be so stupid, so ignorant, so irrational, that they would try to promote the myth that Allah and Yahweh are the same God. Now, the fact is that Allah is not God. It's obvious. Read the Quran. Allah spends all of his time, 100% of the depictions of Allah in the Quran are in hell. Hell, which is called Sheol in the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms, is the one place that Yahweh cannot go. It is separation from Yahweh, and he is thereby excluded from the place. But not Allah. Allah spends all of his time in the very place that was created for Satan. Yahweh says that Yahweh is his one and only name, and the only name that he wishes to be remembered by and invited by, proclaimed by, memorialized by, and that any other name is the name of a false god. So, it is impossible for Yahweh to be God and have made that statement, and for Allah to be God. This notion that they are the same is born out of complete and total ignorance. Political correctness, which is universally incorrect. The Quran claims that it is affirming of the Torah. And yet every statement in the Quran is the antithesis of the Torah. Muhammad was in violation of all 10 of the 10 statements that Yahweh etched in stone. His every word, his every deed served to differentiate he and his want to be God from Yahweh. I mean, they could not be more opposite than they are presented in the Torah versus the Quran. So just because Islam claims that Allah is the God of the Torah doesn't make it so, and anybody with half a brain cell that would be just a touch literate would know that. So then you have to ask, why is Yale promoting such a lie? When the God of Islam presents himself and his wannabe prophet and his religion as the antithesis of Yahweh. Islam means submission. Yahweh, one of his three gifts to us is free will. Islam celebrates death. Yahweh celebrates life. Everything that Yahweh says that he invites us to participate in, his covenant, there is no mention of his covenant in the Quran, and yet it's the centerpiece of the Torah. Yahweh's chosen people are Israelites, and yet in the Quran, the Israelites are condemned to die. Allah calls them apes and swine. Literally, you could not have a more obvious realization that Allah cannot be God when Allah in the Quran is to have said that his Quran affirms the Torah. Now, there are 1,000 reasons to discard Allah as God. You know, one of which is he claims that the Quran is in pure Arabic, when in fact written Arabic didn't even exist during Muhammad's life, and every important word in the Quran, including Quran, is Hebrew. But the things that make it the most obvious is just the utter stupidity. We have gone over time and again on this program the precise accuracy of the creation account, that 15 billion years looking back from our perspective is precisely 6 24-hour days from the perspective of the creator at creation. And I've demonstrated that. And I've demonstrated how each day, sequentially, in Yahweh's testimony, accurately depicted the time that the next unfolding events in the evolution of the universe occurred. Even detailed to Yahweh using the term Big Bang. Speaking of dinosaurs. Speaking of the sun and the moon becoming visible with a transparent sky. Speaking of relativity. Speaking of the very nature of life emanating out of the oceans and how plant life preceded animal life. And how all forms of life were created simultaneously and have evolved after their kind thereafter. All of it's precisely accurate. The Quran, rather than having one creation account, has 30 of them. None of them have anything in common, and they're all wrong. Well, I guess they have one thing in common. They're all wrong. Everything in the Quran historically is errant. Everything in the Quran prophetically is errant. Everything in the Quran scientifically is errant. The opposite is true of the Torah. To claim that they're the same is just illiterate. Irrational. Stupid. Yet we have to ask, why is Yale promoting this stupidity? Well, the answer is easy there. It's politically correct. And one of the things that's interesting about political correctness is that it's always wrong. That which is politically correct is factually wrong. It's politically correct to unify people through having mutually exclusive things both be considered true. It's irrational. It's fictitious. It's mythological. But nonetheless, that is what political correctness conveys. And at the highest levels of academia, really all the way down to kindergarten, for crying out loud, political correctness is the national religion of academia. Political correctness, which is the moral diatribe of socialist secular humanism, is what matters most to those in academia, like those at Yale. If you were to tell the truth, you'd be fired. But if you lie and promote the common deceptions, the popular deceptions, the approved deceptions, then you're considered a great scholar. So this is the issue with Yale. They are so indoctrinated in a culture of socialist secular humanism and political correctness that the facts are irrelevant. It's not that they don't know that there is a 100% dichotomy between these two, that Yahweh is real and that Allah is false, and that their depictions are the antithesis of one another. In fact, what is considered pure to Allah is halal. And yet in the prophets, Yahweh says that Satan's name is halal. I mean, it doesn't matter where you look, how you look, so long as you look. But with socialist secular humanism and political correctness, it's simply a matter of promoting their agenda, especially when their agenda requires a total suspension of reason. But then you have to ask, so what is the reason that 100 leading Christians would sign on to such stupidity? Why would they do it? I mean, they're promoting a false religion in Christianity. They're promoting the elevation of a man modeled after Dionysus to God. Their New Testament has no legitimacy. Half of it was written by the man that Yahweh calls the plague of death, that Yosher refers to as the wolf in sheep's clothing. So why would Christians risk further destruction of the belief system that they are foisting on people to promote a more egregious lie? Why would they try to align Christianity with Islam when Islam, at its core, exists to destroy all Christians? Now, it didn't get born that way. No, Islam actually evolved that way because the first enemy of Allah were Arabs, fellow Meccans. And once they were over-hunted, over-kidnapped, over-enslaved, over-robbed, then Allah needed new prey. He needed prey with money because his boy, Muhammad, craved money. So what did he do? He changed the enemy from the Meccans to the Jews. And then he hunted them and he enslaved them and he murdered them and he robbed them and he raped them until he overhunted them. And then he changed foes once again. We'll be back. So it's really an interesting question. Why would Christians leaders, whose entire credibility, whose credibility really is the only thing they have to offer, their ability to control people, to influence them, to get them to forfeit their money, to get them to devote time out of their lives, to make them popular, to go to their churches, to buy their books. Credibility is their only currency. And so you'd have to ask, why under those circumstances, when they're already promoting a religion that they know virtually every aspect is false? They all know that there was no person named Jesus. They all know there was no person called Christ. They know that neither of those occurred and are fabrications thereafter. They know that their New Testament was not codified at the Council of Nicaea. They know that the purpose of the Council of Nicaea was to destroy the truth that Yosha, which was the real name, was a diminished manifestation of Yahweh, and therefore not the totality of God, but they couldn't create the new religion on reality, so they had to change it. They know that there is no mention of a Christmas or Easter in anywhere in Yahweh's or Yosha's testimony, and that both would condemn both of them. They know that there is no mention of a Trinity. They know that there really is no church, that the word ecclesia does not translate church. They know that neither Yahweh nor Yahusha ever spoke of the concept of a Christian religion. They know that Yahusha was Torah observant, and therefore to follow him, they would have to be Torah observant. They know all of these things. They know that there's no edict to worship, much less to worship on Sunday. If you were to bring up to any of the leading pastors who are well-educated, well-indoctrinated, I should probably say, any one of these issues, every one of them would acknowledge what you're saying is true. You could tell them that Yahweh is God's name. It's repeated 7,000 times in the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms, and that the four letters that comprise Yahweh are among the 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and that they are easily pronounced in thousands of words, and so that Yahweh's name is not hard to pronounce, and they would acknowledge that as being true. All the way through. Now, the vast preponderance of them have not read the Quran, but they would know for certain that what they're promoting is disingenuous, that it's a lie. They would know it. You know, every Christian pastor that I have ever spoken to about the corruption of Christianity has recognized it's a lie. Thus far, not a single person has read Questioning Paul that has remained a Christian. The evidence is overwhelming. It's undeniable. It's irrefutable against the religion of Christianity. So here you have these men who are making a fortune promoting the lie. And you would say, since their only currency is people's willingness to believe them in the promotion of the myth, why risk it by saying something as obviously false as that Allah and Yahweh are the same God? Now, part of it is that the vast preponderance of them are wholly ignorant on the Quran. They've never read it. They don't know anything about Islam. And as a result, they're just speaking out of complete ignorance. But you ought not sign something and make a declaration if you're ignorant. And for those who have read the Quran and who know that Allah is presented in the Quran the antithesis of the way that Yahweh is presented in the Torah and the Prophets, then you run into, all right, what's going through their minds? And I have a hunch that perhaps they're all promoting the same wannabe God. Hello, Glenn, what do you think?
Well, yeah, you seem to be missing the fact that the Latin motto of Yale, a Christian institution, is Lux et Veritas, light and truth. So what comes out of Yale must be light and truth. I mean, Harvard's motto is just Veritas, which is truth. Yale came along later and added light to the truth. So, you know, you're talking about an institution that is a vendor and propagator of light and truth. So you must be mistaken.
Yeah, it's the institution that has skull and bones, too, for its most elitist scholars, which is overtly satanic. So it's the same light and truth that old Paul saw on the road to Damascus.
Yeah, the light bearer, Lucifer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same.
Not the true light who enlightens all men.
Right. No, it's clear. Halal ben Shakar, the actual name of Satan, means the one who radiates light, who puffs himself up with pride, but radiates light. That's the light of the rising sun would be his name. And so, yeah, Hassan, Hasatan, the Satan. The adversary. He's brilliant to look at and extraordinarily enlightening for some. Glenn, I think that you have correctly, by knowing the motto of Yale, light and truth, this would be the motto of Adam Weishaupt. It's the motto of the Illuminists. It's the motto of those who would consider themselves enlightened. It would be the motto of socialist secular humanism. And that truth, of course, is never truth.
This is Larry and Scott. We're back here for another segment. What I just read Matthew 7:21-23. And you'll notice, you know, he started out by saying, not anyone calling me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom. And he gets to the bottom line and he says, you people oppose the Torah. Well, of course, if you don't call Yahweh by his name, that's a clearly prescribed prescription of life right in the Torah. That's how he wants to be known. That's his maxim for all time, all places, and all generations. So the idea that we might mispronounce the name, it's a misnomer. You know, it's a straw man. He didn't say, Diddy Scott, if you mispronounce my name, I'm going to kill you or separate you from the covenant. Did he?
No, he did not.
No, he said to use his name, and you know, it's more about understanding the name than it's about pronouncing it correctly. It was the rabbis that exalted themselves and gave themselves power by saying, if you use the name, we are the people that are going to listen to the way you pronounce it, and if you mispronounce the name, your sentence is death. So when they were in charge, they were as bad as the Catholics were during the Inquisition. It was all about power. So Yahweh never said any of these things. They said them. Now I'm going to go to the copy-edited verse in your standard King James Bible. So where it said, not anyone that calls me Lord, Lord, now becomes not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. So right away they've lied. Will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, perform many mighty miracles in your name? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Get away from me, you evildoers. Wow. So those in opposition to the Torah became evildoers. And not anyone calling me Lord, Lord became not everyone. So do you think those might have been intentional, Scott?
I think everything is intentional.
Well, they have studied scribes that are translating this and putting it down on a piece of paper. And this goes into a religious book. And
I think everything is intentional. I think everything is done with a purpose. And I think we were warned about it.
Yeah, the purpose in this case was what? To get people off the name. You know,
you hide the name, you muddy the path.
Yeah, and you're in opposition to the Torah. Yohanan, and this is a second century parchment, nothing older on what he said. For the reason the Torah through Moses was given, acceptance and truth through the Messiah, Yahusha, came to exist. So according to Yohanan, the fact that Mose was given the Torah and he accepted it as truth, this led to the Messiah, Yahusha, coming to exist in a physical form. Isn't that something? I mean, that's what it says in Yohanan 1:17. Yet, if we look at the King James Version book named after the sun goddess Biblia, what we see is, instead of for the reason the Torah, we see for the law was given to Moses, but grace and truth came by way of Jesus Christ. Now, they changed his name. They took the Torah and called it law, which I think, by the way, that's another one of the big things that has killed billions of people. Because if you really look, if you take the rabbinic view of the Torah, and the Christian view of the Torah as law, or even, you know, Paul's version, if you look at these things as law, well, then the Torah doesn't make any sense.